Good evening. This is Pastor Ed Rice. I want to do one more Bible lesson. Good Samaritan Baptist Church on our hook for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference. So I'm out here in the beautiful sunshine again down in Gatesville, Texas. And I can't see my screen, so I'm going to imagine that this thing is working. And we're going to go ahead and look at another chapter in the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel in chapter 9 this evening. This here is a Monday evening, and so I'm doing this a little bit early. We've got a couple hectic days scheduled here for Tuesday and Wednesday, and so I wanted this out for your Wednesday Bible study time. I know, again, that Good Samaritan will be meeting for the prayer meeting that night, and I appreciate again that services go on there and that they're broadcast on Facebook. Encourage folks that can to get out to our prayer meeting Wednesday night, and when we do, let's go ahead and keep Israel in our prayers. I've said several times now that Israel is in a war of biblical proportions, and we're seeing it. We're seeing America show its true colors and its hatred for Israel and its desire to see them wiped off the face of the earth. It's kind of curious that that would happen. But again, that's the face of progressive liberalism and what they're doing to America. And we see that again pointing to things in the end time when all nations shall rise against God's chosen people, Israel. So may you live in interesting times. Here we are. So I wanted to go ahead and do one more Bible study here on Facebook. And then, Lord willing, Sunday we'll be back home for our last service. I talked to Evangelist Fielder, and he will be in for our final October Sunday, October 29th. And encourage people to keep that in mind and either tune in or show up again, that we could again have that last week of revival services. We do a Hunt for the Last October Bible Prophecy Conference, and we have for 25 years now. This is our 25th annual, and that's because Yom Kippur, there's three feasts: the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, or Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Those three feasts are in the seventh month of for Israel, depending on the moon phase, always towards the end of September, the beginning of October. And those three feasts point to, again, the coming, the reassembling of the nation of Israel, and God fulfilling his promises to his nation to cause, again, that he would come and rescue them, that he would atone for them. And we'll look at the verses that point to that here in Daniel chapter 9. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Daniel chapter 9 and partake in the short Bible study, and we'll go ahead and get excited for some things that the Lord is doing, even in this day and age when we see such horrid stuff going on in our own nation, and especially now going on in God's nation, the nation of Israel. Daniel chapter 9 begins this way: in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again that we could look at it. Thank you again for the great promise that you'd fulfill every word. Thank you, Father, that you've given believers a special insight that we could again know again the future events that are coming up in our future and in the future of this world. And Father, you've done that not so that we could boast, but so that we could be busy and about your business, so that we could comfort one another with these words. I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to do that just now, especially as we see the perilous times we're in. are culminating again in very troublous times in the nation of Israel. And so as we again come to you tonight out of Daniel chapter 9, I pray again that you bless these words, encourage our hearts, and Father, cause again that we'd know for a surety and have faith in your word and your fulfillment of these promises. We'll give you the praise now. Tell you we love you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So as we study biblical prophecy, it is so that we could again have a assurance and a calmness about the way things are going to turn out in the end. They're not so that we could have some misguided curiosity about the future. They're not, again, so that we could have some misguided teaching, like Harold Camping tried to make up some teaching about when the Lord was going to return. Others, again, have prophesied the second coming of Christ and trying to promote their own kingdom. But again, it's written so that believers could comfort one another. In the Bible, seeing is not believing. In the Bible, believing is seeing. So I preach these prophecy series to believers because you can see. Unbelievers mock and scorn and think of idle curiosities and 666 numbers and marks of the beast speculations, and they go on and on about things with a scoffing. But you and I as believers, when we read these words and understand what Christ is doing and see the big picture, it is a comfort to us. It is indeed ennobling. C.I. Schofield wrote a book on prophecy, and he spent a whole chapter talking again about the fact that there's no more ennobling book than the book of prophecy that tells again about our future. And so I like that term, being ennobled, and that's what believers are to be, that we can have an understanding of things that are coming up, and we can let not your heart be troubled. We can fear not. We can trust God. And let's do that as we look here into the book of Daniel. Let's begin again at the beginning. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. This is Darius again. And a little bit of investigation into his reigning in his first year. To understand again that that was, as near as we can tell, about 553 B.C. before Christ. We know that the captivity started in 608 B.C., and so this is 70 years later. And look what it says here about Daniel's understanding. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years. Isn't it curious? Daniel had some books. Daniel had the books of Jeremiah. Daniel had at his disposal there in the Babylonian captivity the books of the Bible. They went with him. And so here he understood by books, the Bible says. And when he had that understanding, we understand that he had the books of prophecy. He had this book, and he left this book of Daniel that told again about the timing of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise men not only saw a star, they read books, and they understood that there was a Messiah that was to come, and they understood the timing of all of that. And so never dismay over the fact that they had the Word of God. I was curious listening to a Bible teacher, I think it was Sunday before we left, he was talking again about the disciples and where Jesus was explaining that what you eat goes into your digestive tract and comes out in the draw. And he said, well, those disciples, they didn't understand that. He basically said they didn't understand that because they were just cavemen and they just came out of the cave and they didn't understand how the digestive tract worked. Listen, people that slew their own goats to make supper, they understood more about a digestive tract than you or I ever will. So anyway, the mockery of this world is that people back here were ignorant. They were not. Daniel, again, was wise. And here he understood by books that, hey, there's only going to be a 70-year Babylonian captivity. And he knew, again, his calendar, that it was time for these things to be fulfilled. I understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of God came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Time it out again in 70 years before they were taken. Remember, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into the captivity. Those are their Babylonian names. But again, they were taken into the captivity. And now this is a 70-year later point. The temple was then destroyed. I think it was like 10 years later. And again, exactly 70 years after the temple's destruction, the temple was rebuilt again in Ezra, the first six chapters. And so, again, when we understand God's timing, God's calendar, he's got everything in order. I like a verse that says, when the Lord comes, he will not tarry. Lots of times we say things like, well, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to do this and the other. I don't mind saying that. I said it myself many a time, but understand that the Lord has all this timing in hand, and he knows, again, of the events unfolding around us, even right now. And so look what Daniel says, and I set my face, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord, to Lord God. And notice it's different here. This is not the Lord God. This is not Jehovah God. This is the Lord. He's my Lord. He owns me. He created me. I belong to him. He's my Lord. And his title is God. And so this isn't his personal name in this use. And those that know their Bible, look at the next verse. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. That's Jehovah. That's the Jehovah name of God. It's all capital letters when it says Lord. And so see the difference there. And boy, that'll help you out in a lot of Bible study, again, just to understand that Jehovah God is referenced so many times. Now, it is not written that way in honor to the Hebrew tradition. And so when the King James translators translated into the English, they were careful not to put the name Jehovah up every time it showed up, because again, that was a very sacred name to the Hebrews, and they would not pronounce that name. It was so sacred to them. And so they used that little key, all caps, Lord, or all caps, God, to indicate the presence of Jehovah, the name Jehovah. So I set my face unto the Lord, Adonai, God, Elohim. That he owns me, he's my Lord, and he is my God. To seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I don't quite have sackcloth and ashes, but I tell you, I spent some time in prayer and fasting this past week as we entered the first week of a war in the land of Israel. And here, Daniel spent his time. And notice what's all worded in there and what's all included by prayer, by supplications, which is bigger than asking, it's begging, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And that's the attitude he wore. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, I'm not going to read the prayer that Daniel prayed. That prayer goes on from verse 4 all the way down to verse 19, and I'd encourage every believer to not only to read it, but to pray it and to confess the sins of his nation. And if you were to pray that today and confess the sins of our nation, you'd have a sweet hour of prayer at least again. Confessing even the sins of Israel, confessing again their lack of trust in Jehovah God. And so we pray today that Lord, show your hand that the people may know, that Israel may know that there is a God in heaven, that America may know that there is a God in heaven. Lord, show your hand even this week as troops are lined along a Gaza Strip, Father, that our nation and even those representatives that hate Israel and promote its destruction and advance Palestinian jihad, even in our own government, even in our own Bible, or even in our own colleges, Lord, help us. I hope not in Bible colleges. But let me go ahead and say that in churches and in Bible colleges, I've seen just this week far too little prayer and fasting. And some, again, just completely ignore what's going on in Israel when it ought to cut to our heart. And it ought to, again, stir our soul. And so, jump down to verse 20, and don't forget Daniel's prayer, but look with me at verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Very honestly, I was ashamed that I was a born-again Christian in 1960, became a teenager shortly thereafter, got me a Scofield Reference Bible shortly after that, and gone through years at our church, at first at Gang Mills Faith Baptist Chapel, and then at Tuscarora Baptist Church, years and years of sitting through Bible teaching, and never understood this vision that Daniel explains in great detail by the very presence of Daniel himself, or Gabriel himself, talking to Daniel. And so I was ashamed that really I didn't even investigate some of this stuff until I started this Bible prophecy series and understood, again, some things about the 70th week of Daniel. So, again, understand that the Bible is clear. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And here, in this section of Scripture, I want us to understand that as we look at this, that there are some things that are revealed in this portion of Scripture right here that you ought to believe, ought to hold on to, and again, that we should again comprehend with a fervor and an understanding that's far beyond, again, what we have for a normal curiosity about looking at the second coming of the Lord. So this is bigger than just a curiosity look. This is digging into what the Word of God promises for the end times, and giving again the context of what's going to happen and how it's going to unfold. And so look then at the vision. Notice what it says, that this was told to Daniel by Gabriel the angel, and it's a sure thing. Daniel chapter 9 is a clarifying prophecy of the end times. And notice it says here in verse 24, Daniel 9 and verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, this is Gabriel. He's talking to Daniel. And notice that this isn't Gabriel's city. This isn't Gabriel's people. He's talking to Daniel here, and he says to him, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. It's thy people. It's Israel. It's Judah. Daniel had just prayed for his people, confessing the sins of his nation. And Gabriel here says, thy people have got 70 weeks to work through yet. And upon thy holy city, the city of Jerusalem that Daniel was praying for, it's called here Daniel's holy city. And Gabriel is making reference to what's going to happen in reference to Daniel's prayer for his people, that they'd be taken out of this captivity situation and put back in their own city, in their own kingdom. And then it's got some things listed out here. I like to list these out and to look at them. And they're very powerful, and they're very true, and it's straight out of the Word of God. And don't miss this, that this is for the nation of Israel, thy people. This is for the city of Jerusalem, thy holy city. And this is the promise that's given to Daniel by Gabriel and explained again in the visions that he had just had and recorded previous, that he's going to, number one, he's going to finish the transgression. The transgression of Israel, let me tell you, it's not finished. But it's going to be finished in this 70th week of Daniel. And so there's coming up a finishing of the transgression. Notice that the next thing there in that verse 24 is there's coming up and to make an end of sins. Think about that. An end of sins is coming in the 70th week of Daniel. 70th week that's given here to Daniel to explain the end times. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And so the iniquity of Israel is going to be reconciled at this point. It's going to be paid in full. And the wonder, the miracle of that. Because the next one, it gets better. And to bring, I think it gets better. Boy, to have your iniquity reconciled, to have your sin forgiven, those of you who have trusted Christ as your Savior and understood what happened again when He saved you from your sin debt and took away all condemnation, you have a flavor again of what this verse is explaining there as far as the finishing of the transgression and the end of sin and the reconciliation for iniquity. But then it says to bring in everlasting righteousness. And imagine in Israel, in his people, in Daniel's people, in Daniel's city, there's going to be brought in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and prophecy. So, our book of prophecy that we've been studying, the visions, the beasts, Revelation chapter 17, the parenthetical that we studied last Sunday, it's all going to be sealed up. It's going to be completed. We're at the end point here. Seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Well, that list of things, I didn't count them. There should be seven if I count right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 things here that's going to be accomplished in that. And the 7th again would be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and ruling and reigning over his people for that 1,000 years. And so in that 70th week, I call it again. Notice again that there are these weeks. Verse 25 on down through there explains some of them, but there's 69 of them all accounted for before, again, the And that accounts for the coming of the Messiah the first time. When the Messiah comes the first time, that is not, as it says here, to bring in everlasting righteousness. You remember they crucified the Messiah. Hey. On my little iPhone. So we finished off again at someplace there, and Daniel, I don't know where y'all left me. Swine cat. But I do know again that Daniel 9 and verse 24 gives an outline of the things that are going to be fulfilled in the last days. God said so. And so there is coming a time when God will fulfill those six promises given to the nation of Israel, to Daniel's people, to Daniel's holy city. And when we understand the great comfort of that is that we know the final chapter. I explained a little bit about the 70th week, because here, when there's 70 weeks that are given, 69 weeks are accounted for, and we can easily figure out that those are weeks of years. All that's missing is 490 years less 7 years. 69 weeks are fulfilled. 7 times 7 would be 490. And so we're still missing a 7-year period, and that's what unfolds in the revelation of Jesus Christ with a 7-year tribulation period that this world is thrust into before the Lord Jesus Christ comes in Revelation chapter 19 as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we, again, consider those things, boy, love Daniel chapter 9 and understand its insight that's given here in the Word of God. And remember, again, even now as we're seeing great wars in Israel and a hatred that's nation, all over this nation, hatred that Satan is fostering for the nation of Israel. And the unfortunate truth is America's helping foster that, giving billions of dollars to Iran, who funded the Hamas and brought about the invasion, giving billions and billions to them by lifting the sanctions that our President Trump had in place on them. Biden lifted all of them sanctions and has dumped billions of dollars into the oil trade of Iran, and that they use all that money to finance Hamas, to finance Hezbollah. And here we are again in a situation where the whole world is turning against the nation of Israel. Unfortunately, even our own nation. I saw the riots in Times Square. I saw protesters sitting outside of Chuck Schumer's house on Sabbath day. Chuck Schumer, as little as I think of him, is Jewish, did keep the Sabbath day and is headed to Israel. And so, again, we're in a mess, but God's in control. And let's keep praying for the peace of Israel. Father, praise you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us. Thank you for believers who know the truth, have a love for the nation of Israel. Believers that do not misled, even if they are believers, professed believers, have no understanding and hate your people Israel. Know that the Presbyterian Church itself has put sanctions against Israel and called them occupiers of Palestinian land. God help us. And I pray again, Father, that you'd especially just now help your people. We are in a war in Israel of biblical proportions, and I pray that people would know that there is a God in heaven. Even in this day and hour, Father, even in our own nation, that you would again move your hand to show that there is a God in heaven who loves that people. And Father, that you'd again touch our hearts. May we be about your business. Father, as we're in these perilous times in the last of the last days and we're seeing things unfulfill even in our own country, Father, that points to all nations of this world's going to come to a place where they're pitted against your chosen people, Israel. Father, we pray again for your glory. Pray for your hand. Thank you again, Father, for your word that's given us details of all this. Thank you, Father, again for the promise that you made right there to Israel, that there is going to be a finishing of the transgression, that there will be an end of sins in Israel, that there will be a restitution for the iniquity, that there will be that you will bring an everlasting righteousness. Father, that you would seal up the visions of this prophecy that we've been studying this month. We'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for your hand on each believer and ask that. In the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen.